just entered the bear crawling nation on the No Agenda Stream.
This is R. Mortimer, and welcome to The Other Side of Live. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the number one Here There Be Geeks comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Tonight's working title is Dorks Rising, guest starring Kevin Mikkelsen. And tonight we are coming at you live from St. Paul, Minnesota, the Bear's Den in Monticello, Georgia. And where are you at, Kevin?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota. The great white north, the winterland. Yeah, the North Pole. That is where we are. Now, of course, without further ado, the dark side of positive, Charles McFall. Boom, baby.
You said do.
I did further to do.
I am coming down off of our major awesome high that we had at NMX, where I learned to speak like Leo Laporte and get all sexy in the microphone. But I'm actually doing it tonight to allow you to hear me better, because I did come home, I was exhausted, and within a few days of being home I got a cold and got sick. Because I don't know about Duluth, Minnesota, but in Atlanta, Georgia, it's 70 degrees and raining in the middle of January. So
oh no, here it's 30 degrees and raining in the middle of January.
That's what it should be doing.
It's like a dusting of snow.
Yeah. Well, we've had a fair amount of rain lately, actually. It's not the Great White North, it's the land of black ice right now. So it's a lot of fun.
Oof, not fun. Oh, that was sarcasm. I'm sorry. I get it now. But yeah, the weather's been weird, right? I think that's played into my allergies. I don't know if I have allergies per se. I think I have seasonal. Everybody in Georgia has breathing problems. That's the bottom line. There's so much pollen and stuff year-round that it messes with you. And yeah, coming from Vegas and dry air and desert, and it was nice. And actually, Mordant, you had mentioned I started sounding a little froggy there as well. I think the climate changes and everything got me a little... I'm the rough bear tonight. So there we go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, last week, our show was entitled, which just got put up today. Our show was number 79, Mordant and McFall's Excellent Adventure. There's a hashtag NMX, because that was our, any of you following us on Twitter, you follow me at Mordant World, or Charles at Bear Crawling on Twitter. And we also have at success underscore freaks. Drives me crazy. Anyways, anybody there, you saw that we were actually hashtagging NMX left and right with that. So,
which makes so us much good fun. Followers. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do know, do you realize that the hashtag NMX trended to number one for at least one day, if not two, until CES kicked in and their 10,000, 30,000 people started, you know, giving us the business.
Right, and that's kind of a big deal that it trended to number one, isn't it?
I guarantee you, you go to CES, you don't make the connections like we made at NMX.
No, sir. No, sure you don't. So.
Although, I want to throw a geeky moment. We have... The expert dork in the room, if you will. What do you, when you hear the title for the last show, sir? We can repeat it if you need to. What do you think of?
The title of the last show, that'd be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
See, geek cred all the way. You're my man, right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Not everybody got that either. I was surprised. It just is like, you need to review. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I'm more of a Bogus Journey guy, but you know, only slightly.
Oh yeah. Oh. I get to death, man. You can't cheat death, but you sure can beat them at every game possible.
Right on. Oh, right,
that was
right
awesome.
And we did have an excellent adventure in Vegas. If you want to hear more about that, actually, we broadcast the show, that show as well as the one before it, live from Vegas, and you're getting our fresh impressions as well as a couple of people coming in and guesting on that show as well. So it was a lot of fun for us and everybody else. Now, before we jump into this with Kevin, and there's a lot to go over here, I want to throw out something new that's happened. And since we're big entrepreneurial dorks now, there have been a couple of you screaming for some Success Freak paraphernalia. and we have heard your cries. We have listened low in the distance. We could hear you bellowing for us, saying, give us something from the Success Freaks. So we have something on our site. If you want to, you can look off to the sidebar and go on down. There's a connection to Cafe Press, and you can check out all of our mercantile stuffage if you want to. And, you know, support us in that way. Blah. It's all new.
It's a lot of great stuff. I want to talk about one thing in particular that I am very much in love with. And you snuck it in on me. You didn't consult me. And it was so awesome, I didn't even mind. There's literally a button that says, I, Hoba, H-O-B-A, do you, successfreaks.com. And I'm looking at that going, what are you? Oh, because it stands for help others be awesome.
It's Kevin, what are you doing?
He's having a seizure. What's that?
Yeah, we hear that. Whatever you're doing, we hear it.
Oh, I'm just trying to cough politely, man. Sorry.
Is there really any polite way to cough?
I just hide it as I can. I got a bit of a frog in my throat because we were recording a Kickstarter video today, and I did a lot of talking, which I usually do a lot of talking, but a little bit louder. So.
Yeah, I know the feeling there. But the Hoba buttons are just awesome. And I love them. I think they're great.
Yeah. So let's get into this then. Dorks Rising, or guest starring Kevin Mikkelsen. Now, I went to your page because I needed to find out more about you. Because although I've talked to you a couple of times, I'm like, what does he do again? It all makes sense when you tell me. But what I like is you put this little blurb that says, just a freelance writer trying to make a living and help grow the Pathfinder community. So, tell us your story and tell us your connection to us, because there's a little bit of one there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My story as a freelance writer is, for the longest time, I wanted to be an author. And I got into, from a young age, into role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. And I got good at that, and I used to joke that all the stuff I'm good at is just everything that's really, really unmarketable, you know. So I decided that I didn't want to spin my wheels anymore with just going to work or going to college because it seemed like the thing to do. And so I put some of my gaming experience to use, and I put some of my writing experience to use, and I submitted something to a company that I've been a fan of for many years, and they liked it, and they gave me my freelance writing gig. And I met you, Morten, as Raphael Tortuga at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, which was really cool. I mean, the first, you know, I didn't meet you as such back then. I saw you on the stage and didn't go to say hi that first year, but I met my future wife, Amanda, at the Renaissance Festival that same year, so it was kind of a big deal.
Well, I'm glad you met her first. It worked out probably best for both of us, because if you met me first, I don't know, I might have to give her a run for her money.
Right on. Steal me right away, man.
It's awesome. So you said you had this company that you really wanted to become a part of, or you that you admired. What was the name of the company? Was it Pathfinder, or we're talking about something else? Or
oh yeah, the game is Pathfinder. The company is called Zombie Orpheus Entertainment. And never in my wildest dreams, if you'd asked me a year and a half ago, would I have said that at this point I'd have done work for them. You know, I didn't. It seems too unrealistic. You know. And the game is Pathfinder, and the cool thing about the game Pathfinder, it's done by a company known as Paizo. That's P-A-I-Z-O. And they've made their game available to lots of third-party publishers, and so they can let... There are freelance writers from all sorts of smaller companies that write with this game system. So, like, you know, think Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Right, right.
Do you still play, by the way?
I have not played in a while because it is honestly a huge time suck. And I played with some brilliant people back in the day. I mean, in fact, two of them helped kick off my personal writing foray into fantasy novels. Yeah, I've got 800 single space pages typed out and waiting for me to finish them and do something with them. But more on that later. Anyways, so yeah, I used to play, but I played some with some pretty brilliant people. But I've also played games where they just didn't mesh, and I only don't have the time to jump into something to find out, okay, this sucks. Or to jump into something and go, okay, it's not fair. This is a great game, but I don't have time. I don't have to, once a week. You know, I've got this show on Tuesdays. Usually on Wednesdays, I have a Spanish class. When I go to Arizona, I've got an acting class on Thursday. Saturday and Sunday, I've got my, you know, the Tortuga gig. And then that leaves Monday or Friday. And I really need some time to myself somewhere in there. And usually something happens on those days. So it's kind of hard to go, yes, I commit to this.
Sure, sure. So when you played, the books were put out by TSR then, am I right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the way things are now with Paizo, it's like if TSR had been writing the game, but then they said, okay, now you guys can take this game and you can form your smaller companies and get your freelance writers who might not otherwise get a shot as easily, and you can use it to sell products with.
That's awesome. And,
yeah, well, there's sort of a sense of freedom with some aspects of the RPG community. Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, the company I wrote The Mask of Death for, is a great example of this. They operate under something they call the Creative Commons license. And what that means is all of their internet web series, all of their movies, all of their everything can be shared, can be remixed, can be spliced, and do with it what you will. With the idea that everything that people do, the fans do, just helps to boost their popularity and helps to grow the community.
Right.
So that's cool, and that's kind of how I got the job writing Mask of Death, is when I approached them with it, I had already done a little bit of work to say, okay, now here's what I had in mind for it. And, you know, they liked what I had, and so the rest picked up from there.
Now, what else did they, because Mask of Death is a game that, can you describe Gamers, it's with the web movie Gamers 2 Darkness Rising, if I'm not mistaken. I think there was a Gamers 1 or exactly what all is this?
Well, the Gamers 1 was made back in 2001 as kind of a side project to a bigger movie they were making called Demon Hunters. And Zombie Orpheus Entertainment, or Dead Gentleman Productions, it's kind of the same, but kind of not, you know. They're an independent film, and they're just independent film company, and they're just loaded with nerds. So they're awesome. And the Gamers gained more popularity than Demon Hunters. So in 2005, they said, hey, we're going to make a sequel. The premise of the Gamers and the Gamers 2 is the people who are playing the game, one half of the movie, sitting around a table and making in jokes and stuff like that. And then the other half of the movie is what their characters are doing in the game world. And that's the part of the film that is, you know, more challenging for the guys to do as far as effects and makeup goes.
Is that... I've watched a movie similar. It might be this one, so I want to verify, see if I've seen it. Is this the one where it's a bunch of guys and a girl, and they start playing at night, they get the girl to play because they need an extra, and she keeps kind of playing it differently. And like you said, half the time they're in the game, and they're following the characters and that kind of thing. And then the other half, they're walking around going to their jobs or whatever. I think I might have seen this movie.
No, man, that's exactly it. Yeah, the girl's name is Joanna. Her character's name is Daphne. And
yes, and then one of the guys is trying to be a bard, and they hate him or something like that.
No, he's just bad at it. They don't hate him. Okay, he gets killed a lot.
Yeah, that thing was so awesome. And actually, the main lead guy was like, dude, I could see you in other movies. It was very funny, very entertaining.
His name is Scott Brown, and he is a hell of a guy. And the crazy thing is, you know, when I watched that movie, and there's a big long story about how the movie was made back in 2005 but then wasn't released until 2008, and I could go into that, but I don't know how interesting it is. But you know, when I saw this movie back around 2008, man, I was going, these guys are just the best, they're so cool, I hope I can get their autograph one of these days. You know, then I got this job working on, and The Mask of Death, what that is, Charles, is it's the game that they're playing in the movie.
Okay.
I made that game for Pathfinder rules playable. And, you know, the book's got all sorts of stuff. Like, remember the waffles gag? Whenever they do good, they get waffles?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a waffle recipe in the back. You know, so it was so fun working on it. I got to work with the guys, and I got to get to know them. And, you know, we're actually friends now, which, like I say, I wouldn't have thought in a million years, just a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that was, you know, honestly, I'll tell you, I watch a lot of TV and movies as I work at my desk to pass the time. And I saw it as enough of an interest, it looked humorous enough, I'm like, I'll give it a shot, but I expected it to be just god-awful, horrible, you know, mom's camera at the kitchen table quality, and it was really good. I laughed and laughed and really enjoyed the movie. It was awesome. And I recommend to anybody who doesn't consider themselves a geek or a gamer, if you really, to get the humor, you really need to at least play some form of role-playing game in your life to really get into it. But they did a great job, and I didn't realize this was the same movie, because I'd seen the posters. I actually looked up today on Netflix, you know, yeah, okay, I see the poster and have some references, but now that you're describing it, I went, oh yeah, I watched the crap out of that movie, and it was awesome. So it gets the bear thumbs up.
So this is available on Netflix. Can you get it as a DVD, like at Best Buy or any place like that too?
Well, it's available on Netflix sometimes, which is kind of weird. I don't know how they do stuff. But you can get it on DVD, paizo.com. I think that also Zombie Orpheus' website might sell it directly, although I might be mistaken on that. You know, you can even go to their Facebook page and ask them. They are so responsive to their fans. It's terrific. Another project they made, Charles, if you liked Darkness Rising, Journey Quest is a web series they've put out.
Okay.
A lot of the same guys. Really, really good. And I think you should check that out. I think you'd like it a lot.
I see that. I'm on Amazon right now because you can shop through successfreaks.com/Amazon. But on Amazon, yeah, they've got a special edition on Amazon. They've got the original edition. They've got Journey Quest Season 1 on DVD on Amazon, too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and actually, I've actually seen some of Journey Quest. I've watched a couple of the episodes, maybe 2 to 4 of them, and they're hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The phenomenal thing about Journey Quest Season 2 in particular is there's a fellow named Fran Kranz. I don't know if you're familiar with his work on Dollhouse, a Joss Whedon series.
Yes.
But, yeah, they managed to work with Fran Kranz and Bob Sapp, the MMA fighter, who is, man, he is a huge piece of man. And he plays the Barbarian King in Season 2, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, so, okay, so before we get, you know, obviously we're going to fall down the geek hole here, and that's not what the show's about. But you actually, this movie inspired you to do what you're doing now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, let's see. Here's how it happened. In 2005, the movie was finished, and they went to Gen Con, and they'd had these promotional adventure modules at the time, The Mask of Death, see, and they only had about 200 made, which sold out in minutes, and you cannot find them anymore. They are gone, gone, gone. 2008 is when the movie came out, and so people, you know, saw the movie, and then at the end of the movie, after the guy has written the adventure module, you see it for a second. And people have been asking for years, well, where do you get this? Where do you get this? Well, you don't get it. It's just not there.
Right.
So I was one of those people asking, hey, where can I get this? And they said, well, we can't, you know, we when they were making that special edition of Darkness Rising, they said, well, we can't re-release it. That ship has sailed. And so I said, oh, that's too bad. And I went and laid down and stared at the ceiling for a while. And I had just watched one of your YouTube videos, Mort, about stirring the quantum soup, I think is what you'd said. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to stir the hell out of the quantum soup. So I got it back up. And and this has been a conversation I had over Facebook, which I held out against for the longest time, and I don't know why. But, you know, so I got on Facebook. I said, you want someone to write you a new one? And then Ben Dobbins, the CEO of Zombie Orpheus, comes back and says, yeah, what have you got? And so I showed him some of my work. And it's just been crazy since then, because after I got the job, you know, working for these guys with Mask of Death, then Adventure Week and TPK, which is Total Party Kill Games, and I started hooking up and doing some work together, and I'm working with Standard Action now, and you should check out their web series too, guys, if you like the gamers. Standard Action, I'm plugging them. Also on YouTube, also free to watch, and that's my new project. They're also under the Zombie Orpheus umbrella, as it were.
So, wait a minute, let me see if I get this right. Are you saying that you saw one of the Modern World videos or and this influenced you to go? So you're saying that there would be no Mask of Death module if it were not
for that. Well, man, you know, you're laughing, but that's not ridiculous. It's not, because I was in this place that I was, you know, I was going to college because it was the thing to do. You know, and I couldn't get a hold of any really good work. I said, well, I'm doing this, you know, and people say, what are you doing with your life? I'm going to college. Well, that's pretty good. You know, they leave you alone. And I was okay with that, but I decided, you know what, maybe I'm sick of being okay with this. Maybe I'll try taking that next step, because what's the worst that can happen? You know, and I think that it was that morning that I saw that video and I said, you know, what the hell? Why not? Let's do it.
That's awesome. Now, I got to say, being a writer myself, I get a lot of people come up to you, hey, I've got a great idea for this, or hey, maybe you should try that. And then, you know, they always get the feeling like they're actually helping you mold this world. And the reality of the thing is that you're spending hours creating what you're creating. So, you know, maybe it gave you a little impetus to get off the couch and call these guys. But I know you did the work. I know you were the right person in the right place at the right time. You just, you know, you needed some kind of other little push to go, what the hell? Let me throw caution to the wind. So, yeah, I'm honored, but good on you, brother, for doing this. Because you've taken it and run with it since then. It's not just this one-shot deal. You're not a one-hit wonder. You know, so that proves that you had it in you to become this. You were ready for this. So good for you. I got to say that.
And what's happened since you did that one module?
Oh, no. Like I said, I've been working with Adventure Week, and that's who I've done most of my stuff through lately. And I've been doing a series of beginner modules for people who are just getting into the game. And I was so excited today, because they mostly operate in PDFs, which is a digital version of a book. But today, the first book they've ever done a print run of is called A Learning Time, and it's the first part of this series that I've been working on. So that was just an incredible honor, and I appreciate so much that John Nelson thought enough of the work I did for his company that I should be the one that got the first book off the line. You know, it was so cool. I'm also working on a book called The Total Barbarian for Total Party Kill Games, which is coming together nicely, and all kinds of stuff.
That's wild. Now, going back to the Mask of Death, that's not where the story ends there. I mean, you actually did a Kickstarter project. Tell us about that, because that's kind of its own little success story in its own.
Oh, yeah. Kickstarter has become something that I've got this really exciting but exhausting love-hate relationship with. mostly love. When the Mask of Death was coming to a head, I had these... my God, way too many pages of information about how it was going to play through. They decided, well, we're going to try to get a book of 42 pages, black and white. I hear 42 pages, I'm like, oh my God, I've got like a whole dungeon I've got to cut now, and this is going to, oh, whatever. Black and white, and we're going to run it for 2 weeks, and we're going to try to raise $5,000. And they didn't want to take too long, because pretty soon they were going to be launching their Gamers 3 Kickstarter, which has funded and shot and looks phenomenal, but more on that. Anyway, so the $5,000 mark got completely left in the dust. While that Kickstarter was running, Amanda and I flew on over to Washington for PaizoCon, and that's where we got to playtest The Mask of Death with a lot of the actors and crew. And some of the guys from Standard Action.
Did they wait? Did they play their own characters?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely, it was phenomenal. And we got to meet some of the fans out there who we've also become friends with, like Leslie Sidlock, very cool lady. I accidentally called her on the phone just today, but let's see, where was I? We were out in Washington, and we got to meet everybody, and while we're there, and while we're playing, Ben Dobbins has got his laptop out, and we're watching this Kickstarter, and at that point, it had just about broken $20,000. Toward the end of this two-week period. When it finished, it was $22,500 of a $5,000 goal. What this meant for us is we're now up to, I think, 56 pages in full color.
Nice.
Which was pretty neat. Yeah, yeah. It was. And then they also took me out to Gen Con so I could GM a celebrity game for high-level backers, which was also phenomenal.
That's awesome. Now, didn't I talk to you about Kickstarter? Didn't I? I think you did your Kickstarter before the Tortugas did theirs, didn't they?
Oh, I think so. When did you guys...
Because I think I came to you for when you told me this whole story in the beginning. I'm like, oh, cool. Tell me how Kickstarter works because we're trying to do this.
Oh, the Mask of Death Kickstarter was definitely before the Tortuga Twins.
So you actually helped us out, too.
Well, dude, I'm so glad to hear that. I cannot wait to see that. The Christmas show is going to be phenomenal. I can already tell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you made more money than we did, so whatever.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I have since run a Kickstarter to try to bring a gaming convention to Duluth that didn't quite make its rather ambitious goal. But we're still trying for that. It's called BerserkCon. And the first time we ran, our goal was $42,000, and we thought we'd just shoot for the moon, you know? And we made eight. Which was, you know, $8,000 rather, not $8, but
right,
you know, still
right.
Still not quite enough. but you know, there are no bad experiences, is what I've heard it said. And so we took what we learned, and so we are going to be relaunching the new BerserkCon Kickstarter this coming Sunday with a very reworked budget, and it's going to be down to the four digits now.
Right. Now, how did you deal with the failure? I mean, personally, how did that feel? How did that impact you? Especially after your successes.
Well, here's what sucks about Kickstarter is as the deadline approaches, you get a better and better idea of exactly how much you're going to miss it by if you're going to miss it. You know, so I did my best, though. I said, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down kicking and screaming. And I did. You know, right up until the end, I was doing what I could to campaign for it. But and I think I spent about a day feeling grumpy. That's fine though, because I had books to work on. And then after that, I said, okay, I'm going to just, you know, do a little bit more writing and do some more thinking on this, and I'm going to take the time from Christmas through New Year's off before I start working on the next version of the BerserkCon Kickstarter. Because, you know, Duluth really needs the gaming convention, man. It doesn't make sense that we don't have one. We got the lovely the deck. Entertainment Convention Center out here. It's enormous, and they've been wonderful to work with.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to happen this time. I can just feel it.
Good. Good for you. We'll definitely want to we'll link to that and keep an eye on it. So make sure you get us the link so we can put it in our show notes so that the listeners can check that out. Not a problem. So I have to ask you. Your name is Kevin Mickelson, and we've got quite a while I've known you as Game Masters Kip, and there's a possessive in there. There's Kip. There's Game Masters. What does it mean? Where'd you get it from?
Okay, so Kip is a old Cockney slang term for house or nap, and it wasn't meant to refer to me at first. Before I was really well acquainted with Facebook's guidelines on not having a page a certain way if you're not really a person, I thought I'd make a gaming page, and that's what I still call my blog, is Game Masters Kip. And the idea is that people who run games would come together and share ideas back and forth, and that's how I got my start, you know, blogging and stuff like that. But when I figured out that if Facebook found out that I was running this with a name that wasn't my own and my other account, one account at random would get the axe, I said, well, I better pick which one I like the best and just roll with it. So that's how that went. But yeah, Game Masters Kip is Game Master's house. And Kip is also something that people from the Planescape school of gaming will recognize, because there's a whole other thing to do with that.
Okay. We are a live show right now, and we have listeners who get a hold of us in many ways, and any ways possible. And I just have to address something. It has nothing to do with this show. There's at least one person who says, has been addressed, that the chat isn't accessible, and yet the chat's been running since the beginning of the show. So it's Kirsten. If you will go and check out the Success Freaks Fest Facebook page, I'm sure that somebody will jump on there and try to help you, either Sharon Watson or someone like that. But the chat room is up and running, and it has been the whole time as far as I can tell. So I just wanted to address that. Charles, when do you want to open this up for questions from the people?
Well, the Don Knotts is going to speak up in about 15 minutes.
All right, then we can wait until then. We can wait until then. So, brother, what does your world look like now? I mean, do you have the quote unquote real job? Do you have your bread and butter job, or is this it? Are you living the dream?
Oh, this is it, man. My wife Amanda is the one who goes and soldiers in the grind. But what I do is I write, and I've also had the opportunity to find opportunities for her, because she is a wonderful artist. And the coolest thing in the world that I've ever done is work on a book with my wife. And she's as big a nerd as I am, man. I mean, she plays as much Pathfinder. She could tell you just as much nerdy crap. And she is so very good. And she has done the covers of books 2 through 4 of my beginner series for Adventure Week. And she's gotten to meet people who are really big names in the industry. And, I mean, we both have, tell you the truth. But what I do is I sit at home and I work in modules, and I'm working on this BerserkCon thing, and that's my day. I'm chained to my desk. It's not so bad.
I'm chained by my love of writing fantasy role-playing games.
So I must write about elves and stuff.
Elves and stuff. And it is like that. Writing is like that. Anybody who's really experienced any kind of serious writing, and beyond the "I'm going to write beyond 1,000 words," knows that it is work, because there's writing and then there's rewriting, and all that is hours and hours and hours of stuff that you have to keep locked away from everybody, from the phone, from the web, from everything, so that you can concentrate on building this world for people. You know, getting this.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want to do that the way you make it sound. Is that how you see your day, Kip? Game Master Kip?
No, man. Don't get me wrong. I love it. It's the best. But because there's also the element of when you're making this kind of book, there's a certain element of game balance you have to think about, and a little bit of math, not a lot, which is good, because if there was a lot of math, I just couldn't do it. But you got to make sure that all the pieces fit into place, and when you have an encounter set up in the dungeon, you have to make sure that it's fun, and it's not going to just wipe everybody out or be too easy or anything like that. And there's the play testing, and there's all sorts of really terrific tools that I used to work without that I have access to now, which help with that immeasurably. But it's great fun. I used to do this stuff just to do it. when I was dungeon mastering and game mastering for other games with my friends. This is what I would do. I just didn't do it as much, and I didn't get published or paid for it.
See, that is what we've said all along. How do you find your passion? Look around and do what you do for free, and we can help you figure out how to chase that. You might not always get paid, but you're going to love what you do. And that is, yes, we're geeking out a little bit, and yes, we're talking a little bit deeper. We sometimes fail to realize, or maybe it's the other way around. The audience full of women fail to realize what kind of geeks we are at heart sometimes. And so we're having these moments of movies and getting into all of that. But the bottom line is, you're here because of that. You did this for free, you loved it, and you took that shot. Hey, would you like me to write you one? And now You're, if I could paraphrase our morning mod, you're chained to your desk, slaving away. You know, but you love what you. Yeah, I'm not mocking it. It's hard. I know it can be hard, but you love it more than you hate it, don't you?
Oh my God! Yeah, absolutely. I didn't say slaving away. This is kind of a recreational chaining.
Yeah, if you don't love writing, it is going to be like that, though. It is work. I mean, unless you love it. I mean, some of the stuff that we do. Yeah, we're kind of goofing around, but there's a lot of hours spent in meetings and in with writing and doing all this other stuff. But, you know, we love this kind of thing. So, that's nothing to sneeze at. You know, seriously.
So, yeah. No, for sure. If I had to pick a part that I didn't like, it would be either the waiting to hear back about, you know, do they like this or not, and... Also, sometimes if you're getting edited, that can be a little bit rough.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know,
my partner edits me all the time. You can't say that on the air. It's like, okay.
All right, I'll bleep it out. I got to say, there's a soft spot in all of our hearts for the geek thing. I'm growing up with Dungeons & Dragons and all that, but I don't think people really realize, unless I've already chatted about it. And you know, I'm older now, so I forget things. So I'm going to go into it again. That really... For me, my whole Tortuga Twins career was set up by Dungeons & Dragons, simply because I was going to a church in Tarpon Springs, Florida, the First United Methodist Church of Tarpon Springs, and there was a guy who got hired as a youth director who I was like in either just ending high school or beginning college, and he was just a few years older than me, and he taught the kids to play Dungeons & Dragons. Now, he made it with a very historical, very Christian background, so there was, you know, everybody played lawful good and all that. Well, he had a buddy that he played with in another group that was a little less goody-goody. Anyways, he worked at a Renaissance festival. And it was because of that guy that I started going to Renaissance festivals. So, it really, Dungeons & Dragons brought me into the Renaissance. And honestly, if people ask me, what's the main thing that brought you, I would say Jesus. Because, you know, church was the first connection to all of this kind of stuff. So, I am now on stage in tights with my shirt off doing a body show because I went to church. There you go.
You know what might blow your mind a little bit is years ago, I put the Tortuga Twins in one of the... adventures I wrote. So Renaissance festivals have actually put you back in Dungeons and Dragons too.
Which one? I want a copy. Are you kidding me? I was going to ask you at the end of this to put Charles and I in something.
Oh, no. No, this was years ago before I was getting published for it.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
We'll talk, though.
We'll talk.
You know, that's before Mornet brought you up. At some point, and we always discuss outside the box ideas, and I was on the plane to Vegas, actually, and I was playing Monopoly on my tablet. So for some reason, I have this weird fascination with Monopoly. I have dozens of versions of it, and I'm passing the time, and I use it with my kids to help teach them finances and managing your wealth and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know why. I got thinking, like, how cool would it be to build some kind of success freaks game, and it doesn't have to be a board game, it could be role playing, it could be something, but where people are on in their imaginations, but it's a game that's pulling them out. So on a video screen or on a tablet or even pen and paper, they're building the person they want to be, and they're leveling up that person's life, but it's all based off of stuff you can do in your life, so that your mind, we've said many times before, you watch a movie, you get involved because your mind can't always tell what's real and what's not. So you get that adrenaline rush from watching the great action scene or you know, extend from there. But how cool would it be to have a game that, say, you could play that said, you know what, I want to be a writer, I want to build this character that he's wildly successful at everything I want to do. And then that pulls you into you actually acting out of that feeling that you have from the game.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's been a while since I've played life, but that's the nearest thing I can think of.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I heard a story, and of course I go back to a lot of Jack Canfield stories because I just happen to like listening to him. He told about an event where people got to go. And they went as the person they were going to be in 5 to 10 years. And you could be exorbitant with whatever it was, but you went as that person. So if somebody was going to be a famous or an author, a successful author, they went as that author. They went dressed as that author. They, you know, if somebody was going to be an actor, they went dressed as that actor, and a few other things. And what's weird about, they really got into that mindset of being that person and telling and meeting each other at this party as those people. And they really got into the mindset of it. And if you know, we talk about a lot of the woo-woo stuff here once in a while. We talk about stirring the quantum soup and how your belief really affects your reality, not just now, but the things you believe now are causing things to come into being and causing things to cross your path. Well, the interesting thing for these people is that just that one event let them have a taste of it and let them, you know, feel the reality of it. And they, a lot of them, went on to become those people and beyond. Just because that, so you talk about doing this as a game, being the successful thing that we are, there are things like it, although not really in game form, but wouldn't that be a great thing to set up, a what your will become party or whatever it is? I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think we should market it, yes.
Trademark success freaks, 2013.
I like it.
So what's your next pushing yourself across the line? You listen to Stirring the Quantum Soup. You listen to you watched the video on YouTube. It made you just reach out that step. What are you going to take from tonight or you know, any time that something inspired you? What's your next, I can't do that yet, but I'm going to get there moment?
Well, right now, in front of me, I've got BerserkCon, making that work. And trying to bring a yearly institution to Duluth, which just, you know, would mean the world to me. But as far as my writing career professionally, I'm having endless fun working with the people I'm working with these new friends I've made. And what I'd like to eventually do is work for Paizo directly, not as a freelancer, but as someone from their design team. Who works on the really big modules that, like their adventure paths and stuff that are all full color and full illustration and just lovely, and they come out monthly, stuff like that. And I'm working toward it, and I feel honestly like I'm making significant progress toward that each week.
That's awesome. Have you ever thought about doing writing scripts, or is that out of your bailiwick altogether?
I actually wrote one today, sort of. It was for a little, you know, the BerserkCon Kickstarter video, which is just a little piddly thing, going to be just a couple minutes. And it's way over the top and hammy, but I love that stuff. So,
awesome.
But nothing huge. You know, I get to sort of work with scripts in that, like what I'm doing right now with Standard Action is they finish their first season and then they start with their second season, and there had been about a 2-month in-world time lapse, and what I'm writing right now for them is, we're calling it season 1.5 and the fans get to play through that lost time.
Oh, that's cool.
It kind of is, yeah. Like, there'll be references to season 1 and season 2 of my module, and then there'll be some references to the module and some of the stuff that they put out, maybe. I don't want to, you know, no spoilers or anything like that, but it's really, really good.
That's fantastic. Now, do you have any advice for other up-and-comers, for people who, whether they're writers or anybody kind of chasing and catching their dreams? I mean, from your own experience, what could you share? If you could share something with you 5 years ago from where you are now, or to a little brother or little sister, what would you say?
You just get off your butt, man. You know, it's easy to look at something and say, oh, that's not realistic, you know. But you shouldn't settle. You should be realistic. And if you're not sure, do your best and put it in front of somebody who knows and say, well, you know, is this good enough to do this thing I want to do? You know, that's what I did with Ben Dobbins and Zombie Orpheus. I gave them an example of my work, and as I gave it to them, I go, man, I think this is pretty good. You know, what do I know, though? I'm one guy from Duluth, so I don't have a terrific perspective, but here's the best I got. And what do you think, world? And the world said, you know, this is pretty good. We're going to make a module out of this. So, and don't be afraid. Don't be hung up because you're afraid you might look foolish. That's okay. You know, I do squeaky voices for kobold monsters as a dungeon master for fun, so I don't have that problem. You know.
Well, you know, before we get to opening the phone lines here, have you, because you obviously follow some web series, you are in the geeky world, and there's a site that you can check out. We'll talk about off the air because it's very specific. But have you heard of the Skyrim parodies?
Did you say the Skyrim parodies?
The Skyrim parodies. Skyrimparodies.com.
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. It's I learned about it this week at NMX. I'm dabbling in looking at more and more web series. I'm still breaking away from mainstream mentality of watching whatever they feed me on the internet there. But I actually met the creator of this series called Kristen Nedopak. And she was awesome and amazing. And honestly, you're talking about branding yourself. Her business card is a 4-pack of trading cards from the videos that she did. And
oh, cool.
If you're a geek, if you're in the role-playing, if you're in the Skyrim, if you just know what good humor is, you'll enjoy it. And I wanted to... We're talking about once a month featuring, you know, a show or something we're into. And since you're here, we're talking all kind of geek stuff, I thought it was perfect to bring it up. And Mordit, you obviously have a reaction to. Why don't you share some of your thoughts on
You beat me to the punch. I was like, okay, it's about time to start talking about this. And you whip that out, and I was like, oh, good for you. Good for you. Absolutely.
Just like I told Lala Siegfried, you can't beat genius and speed.
Well, she became kind of, you know, she became kind of a buddy of yours during this show. And anyway, I got to meet her. I got to meet her publicist. And I was like, yeah, you guys are pretty cool. And then it wasn't until I got back that I looked at the web series. And they're short. They're little short things, but hilarious, especially if you've ever played Skyrim. It's just a lot of fun. Very well done. And it just shows you a little something of what somebody can do. And you don't have to be a geeky guy to do this. This is an actress from LA. Apparently, Don Knotts is a big fan of hers. So, yeah, we're happy to pimp her out as well as one of our buddies. So,
yeah, we talked for a good 30-45 minutes about everything and talked about our web series a little bit, but really we just talked about how we could work together and. She's a really cool person, and honestly, if she just said, hey, I do these web videos, and they're about Skyrim, I don't play Skyrim. I'm like, yeah, maybe, I'll check it out. But because I got to know her and how funny and creative she was, I went and checked it out, and it's very funny. And then she even pays tribute to other geeky references that I won't ruin for you here, but you should definitely, everybody should give it a check. And it's two female leads, so there you go.
Yeah, and one of the female leads' last name is McFall, which I just think is awesome. Now, those of you who heard Don Knotts knows what that means. It's time for you to call in, ask your questions of Kevin, of Charles, of myself, or just, you know, weigh in on the Dorkness Rising here. 218-632-1724, and you'll be asked to hit 33 pounds. Once again, that's 218-632-1724. We're going to go ahead and put that number in the chat room. If you call, great. If you don't call, great.
And of course, we still carry on because this is live streaming radio. So other than geeky stuff, what's something that we might be surprised to find out that you're into?
Surprised to find out that I'm into. Let me see. I kind of watch wrestling a little bit.
Yeah, that's still kind of geeky. I mean, if sci-fi shows
still kind of. That's true.
That's like a man soap opera.
I have never played Skyrim. I actually don't play a lot of video games at all. Last one I got into was Mario Kart for my Nintendo Wii, which used to really be my thing. But, you know, ever since I got into the role-playing games, video games have faded a little bit. That's no good. Okay.
I think that's although we play them ourselves here, we do say that's really great for a creative person not to do that, because games like WoW and anything that is reward based is going to satiate that desire to create something, and so you won't wind up working on your own stuff. You're going to wind up just playing these games and living in somebody else's world instead of creating your own world. I've experienced it. I have friends who've experienced it. I've had artist friends who've experienced who their work diminished because they were too busy playing WoW. So you've probably gone the best path with that.
Well, now, I didn't say I've never played WoW. as a matter of fact, Amanda and I ran a PvP guild, Horde side, of course, back in the day. And we were pretty good on our server. Now we just went in on the Pathfinder Online Kickstarter, which just wrapped up and made over $1 million, which is an MMO based on Pathfinder. Wow. So I guess, you know, I reckon I got about 2.5 more years of creativity before the world loses me for, I don't know. Well, no, it won't come to that.
Well, no, but then now you can write storylines for them.
Wouldn't that be great? As a matter of fact, I've spoken to some of the guys who've written for the game. And, of course, they're direct employees of Paizo. But two of my books were given as rewards for their Kickstarter.
That's awesome. There you go.
And if they, you know, if they need any voiceover actors, I'm sure Charles and I are happy to stand in.
As long as I can be like a little midget or something. I always thought it's funny you bringing this little guy just like, what do you want? Yeah, that's what I want to do. So if you would like to call in and weigh in on WoW or, you know, all the other geekiness or, you know, ask a question, because honestly, this is how I've learned all of my life to succeed, is I find somebody that's not doing what I'm doing, but they're successful at what they want to do and go, wow, well, what could you tell me about this? One of our greatest stories I love to tell, I've told it all week at NMX, was Shadow 42. He came in, he's like, I'm a musician, I play the Renfest stuff, I can't do that anymore, I'm going to give that up because, you know, medical, blah, 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 whatever. And I said, well, what about, because I'm doing something that he's not. I'm podcasting, I'm a radio host. You know, it's not what he's doing. He's a Renfest musician. I said, well, have you thought about audiobooks, your audio dramas? And I sent him to partyobooks.com, which is podcasting and books put together. And I said, they're always looking for music. And it was just a thought he never had. So that's how I'm encouraging you, the listeners, tonight to call in. Or on the podcast, also, I'll give that number out. But call in. We'd love to forward your message on to Game Master Kip and get his feedback. It's 8... Well, I'm sorry, that's another number. It's 218-632-1724. He's going to give you some good advice. I guarantee it. Or we'll fire him. Either way. 218-632-1724 or on the podcast. You can always use our SpeakPipe. You can always use the SpeakPipe tab on our Facebook page or on successfreaks.com or call in 206-666-5458. That'd be awesome.
And of course, if you are in the chat room right now and you have any, I am looking at the question marks to see anything reference us. If you have any questions for any of us, we'd be happy to answer them now that we're paying attention again instead of just talking to each other. Now, in the meantime, while we're waiting for somebody to chime in, where can people find you? First of all, is your book available still? I mean, I'm sure it came out in is it a hard copy, or what's the deal?
You can get it both ways. Paizo.com has sold the book, and that was another mind-blowing moment for me, was seeing that feature on the front page of Paizo. Really terrific. But if you look up Mask of Death on Paizo.com or DriveThruRPG or anything like that, you'll find it easy enough. AdventureWeek.com is where you'll find a lot of my other stuff, which you can also get from Paizo or DriveThruRPG. And sites like that. Pretty much if you Google Kevin Mickelson Pathfinder, it'll bring just about everything up.
And where do you want people to find you at, as far as if they have questions for you or just want to follow along with what you're doing?
Well, I'm on Facebook a lot because I do lots of my networking through there professionally as well as recreationally. Like, I understand some people use LinkedIn. I haven't really yet. But I'm also DungeonMasterKevin@gmail.com because I keep it classy.
Fantastic. And your Kickstarter program.
Yeah, the Kickstarter is going to be Berserk Con Deathless. The first one was simply Berserk Con. That's Berserk O-N with, you know, no spaces or anything like that. And we're going to be launching the new one on Sunday. Like I say, we just shot that new video, and I had a lot more fun with this one because we had some of our other people that'll be helping with the convention get involved. And we had a good time with it. Like, my favorite part is we do a sort of a Raimi cam shot. You know what I'm talking about? Like Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Evil Dead with a along the floor. So I get chased by a Raimi cam at one point. So that's cool.
So has playing all these games and playing all these modules, have you been able to relate anything to your real life? Can you lend any of your success to anything you learned while playing in the games, et cetera, et cetera? You know, like we talked earlier, how Monopoly it may help you be able to handle money in some way. You know, is there anything that happened with you and any of the games?
Yeah, you know, one of the big differences between role-playing games and video games is how outside-the-box solutions can really help you out. And sometimes the person running the RPG didn't even think of it. And so what I always try to do when I'm playing Pathfinder or any other game is to think about all of my options and then think a little bit, you know, beyond that. And so that's kind of how I, you know, that's another part of when I decided, you know, I might as well think outside my box, think outside my comfort zone, if you will, and do what might not be the scripted or expected thing. It also taught me that it's a lot easier to deal with good players than evil ones. That served me very well.
You know, it's funny that I grew up in a preacher's home and very against Dungeons and Dragons, and I remember this huge big black binder about all the deaths in the 80s and all the crap that, you know, blah blah blah, whatever. So I wasn't allowed to do it. So I got invited over to a friend's house to play Marvel whatever, and it was the Marvel universe based on Dungeons and Dragons. It was the same thing, but that was okay. So that's where I cut my teeth.
You know, that's the familiar story. For a few years, my mom runs a daycare, see, and when I was younger, I'd help her with keeping some of the older kids entertained, because she'd run the gamut, like K through, I don't know, 4 or 5, it's been a while, and they love video games, and I said, I wonder how they'd like D&D, and so I brought the D&D stuff down, and I taught them the game, and oh my god, I'd ask them, you guys want to play the Dreamcast, or you want to play D&D? Oh, D&D, I want to see what happens next. I loved it, and they loved it. But then one of the moms said, oh, I don't want them playing Dungeons and Dragons. I heard that's bad news.
Right.
So then I said, okay, well, let's play Dragon Ball Z. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
same kind of game.
Yeah.
You know, it's all in the name, though.
Yeah,
definitely. We're being asked, how do you spell the current spelling of BerserkCon again?
Okay, let's see here. See, it's funny, because as much as I write, sometimes I have to type a word out in front of me.
Absolutely.
You know where I'm coming from?
Yes.
BerserkCon.
BerserkCon. There you go. That's how you spell it. We're getting it correct for the show notes. Our awesome note taker, Sharon Watson, is in there and making sure she's getting things right. So one last thing I want to throw at you, even if it doesn't work for you to get an award, it's a community you're going to want to be a part of, and anybody else who is fans of geek anything, fans of geekdom, if you will, or participating in that, share it with your friends. It's thegeekyawards.com. This is something else that Karen Niedepak is working on as well. And I mean, that's one of the second things she asked me after she found out about Mordant and my show. When I sat down with her, she goes, oh, what kind of show is it? Is it geeky? And I was like, no, it's comedic motivation, which she loved, but she says, oh, well, the reason I was asking, because we're always looking for people to be a part of the awards. So then, of course, being me and two scotches in, I turned around and was like, well, we can host it for you. She loved that response. So, because we're geeks at heart. We just don't do a geek podcast. But that will be in the show notes as well, the Geeky Awards. And, Kevin, you should look at that. I was looking through, and you might get something for the crowdfunded thing, but they don't have adventure modules or RPG modules. I didn't see, but definitely check it out. It's a community. Again, you can reach out and grow what you do. Now maybe you can write for tabletop games, or you can write for unless I'm confusing tabletop games. I thought tabletop games were where you made the models and did all that, but you can clear up that letter. But anyway, check it out. I'm done.
No, I think that's war gaming. Although people use minis in D&D and Pathfinder a lot these days. Okay.
So maybe you do have something. Maybe it's considered tabletop gaming, and I'm just out of the loop. I don't know.
Sure, sure. Exactly. How do you spell that, by the way? Is it G-E-E-K-Y Awards?
No, it's with, you have to use the in front of it. The Geekiest, G-E-E-K-I-E Awards.
Oh, I-E Award. Okay. Yeah,
there you go. The Geeky Awards. And again, it'll be in our show notes. We'll make sure you have that. But it is time to wrap this up, my friend.
Yeah, Kevin, do you have anything else you want to give to people just before we take off? Any last words of wisdom or words of advice from our favorite Dungeon Master and creator of worlds?
Yeah, go for it. Don't hold back. Don't worry about looking foolish. You'll get over that. Try to do what you enjoy. Find BerserkCon on Facebook and friend us. And yeah, I mean, if this is anyone's cup of tea, I also love talking about gaming. So, you know, don't be afraid to look me up and shoot the breeze at any point. It's, you know, it's my work, but it's my fun as well.
Have you ever thought of doing a podcast?
A little bit. But it also ties directly into gaming. There are some really cool online tabletop programs that will simulate the grid and put the map up there. And you can talk to people over Skype. As a matter of fact, I invited you to come and play me one of these times, Morton.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But what I mean is, you, I mean, you have so much. You obviously have the gift of gab, and you're well connected in the gaming community. Maybe you know, even just a twice a month little gaming podcast where you're talking to other gamers, or maybe you are playing a game and you're doing the podcast while you're playing this game. I don't know. It seems like an idea.
Our good friend World Traveler Jim does that. He writes modules for the Call of Cthulhu, and they found a bunch of old role playing games based on H.P. Lovecraft's book. And I always say it the way I think I should say it, but I don't know if it's correct, but the Call of the Cthulhu. And once they ran out of stuff to play as a podcast, they just got on Skype together and recorded them playing it. He started writing modules for it, and now he's kind of doing the same thing you are as far as that goes.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's terrific.
I would tell you how to find his podcast, but I can't remember what it's called. Sorry. I can't. I'm blanking. But we can email it. We'll put it up somewhere and we'll email it, because he's a cool guy and you might enjoy it. But where can they find us, Mordanto?
Well, if you are listening to us live, you can always find back episodes at successfreaks.com. We are also available on iTunes. And if you're listening to the podcast, we are live every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, at successfreaks.com/NAS. And, of course, the NAS stands for No Agenda Stream.
That's right. If you'd like to help support us reach our dreams, one, we're doing something amazing for you this summer. You need to plan on being in Atlanta for Success Freaks Atlanta. We're doing our own conference coming up in June. We're definitely going to tell you more details sooner or later, but we want you to get excited now. So start marking off your calendar. June, is it 14th and 15th? It's a Friday, Saturday. There you go. So we're doing that. It's going to be amazing. We've got some great people speaking along with ourselves. And it's going to be awesome. Plan on getting your plane tickets and your hotel rooms and all that jazz, because you're going to love it. You're going to want to be here. So that's coming up in June. Also, as always, successfreaks.com/Amazon. If you shop Amazon, as I do, if you click our link, it helps us out. It doesn't cost you anything. And as of this week, thanks to listener requests and our great team at Success Freaks, we now have successfreaks.com/shop, S-H-O-P, where you can get all kinds of Success Freaks merchandise, including my favorite, the HOBA button, iHOBA, which is I Help Others Be Awesome. Do you? Successfreaks.com. So check that out.
That's it. That's it. Well, and there's a bunch of other places you can find us, but you know what? Check the notes. So I want to thank Kevin Mickelson. Thank you so much for helping dredge up our own inner geek, our inner dork, and give us a fun hour of being able to talk to you about what you're doing, as well as walk down our own personal memory lanes of, oh yeah, I remember when we used to do this. Thank you so much for such an enjoyable interview.
And if they ever want to shoot Gamers 4 in Atlanta, you know, call me. That's all I'm saying.
I'll see what I can do to get Vansel to give you a call, man. Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed myself. And this is, it's been awesome. It continues to be awesome. And I hope to talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, you know you will. All right, this has been our Morning Mon.
And I have nothing, Bear, because I'm sick. Sorry.
And the Stuck in the Dungeon Bear. Ciao, success freaks. You got nothing. What's it? Boom, baby. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs for you to recognize.